Up next, we're talking money with the man responsible for fee-only financial planning in Ohio, founder of the National Association of Personal Financial Advisors, and expert advisor to the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Kiplinger's Personal Finance, and U.S. News & World Report. It's the only financial planning show on radio, Managing to be Wealthy, with your host, John Sestina.
Good evening and welcome to Managing to be Wealthy. This is Tyler Cook, Tony Payne, Tad Harrington with you this evening, all certified financial planners. Guys, how are we doing?
Very good. Very good.
Yeah. That's a solid answer. It's a great day. It's a beautiful day working away here. We love work. We enjoy what we do. It helps people.
Absolutely. Every day is different, right?
It is. It really is. Every day is a different story. One this after, some good, some bad.
Right.
And you just work through it. And after years and years of working with someone, you become really a counselor in a lot of ways that beyond just financial planning, certainly more than just investments, but as you think about your goals and what is it that your value statement is, again, just going through over the weekend some of those things, looking at goals is so important in setting your own value statement, because when you think about all these curveballs life can throw at you, some of them do involve financial planning, but to have your values set so you know this is where I want to get to helps you make better decisions.
Absolutely. And you mentioned our role. Some days it's marriage counselor. Some days it's grief counselor. Other days it's you're the first to find out about some exciting news like the birth of a first child. You name it, right? It's kind of a roller coaster. So you have to be steady as she goes, that calming influence. And today we're going to talk about some topics that are not easy to discuss. They're not fun to discuss, for sure, but very, very important. And what I'm talking about, guys, is life insurance, disability insurance, and long-term care and estate planning. So a lot to get through, but there's some important conversations because it's not a cookie-cutter approach to these discussions. There's not a one-size-fits-all type of approach to get through these things.
Yeah, I think the process for evaluating these topics, it's the same kind of process and things you should be considering, but like Tony was saying, you have different goals in mind, you have different circumstances at home, so these are going to be different than for everybody, but nonetheless will at least help you get a framework for evaluating these things.
All right, and we're going to walk through some questions you should be asking yourself or perhaps your spouse if you're married. And again, it may be those conversations or questions you haven't discussed. And so there's some uncertainty there. And the idea is just to get on the same page. Awareness is half the battle, whether it's like you talk about, Tony, you're knowing your living expenses or something like this. You know, what does life look like should one of these unforeseen events happen? It's important to have a game plan in place.
Right, exactly. And to really take up the mantle, too, of make financial planning a profession that people know about. It's more than just products.
Yeah.
So all these discussions we're going to have, whether it's long-term care, disability, life, what happens if something, if you pass away or you have a stroke or something, that's all these phrases, disability, life insurance, long-term care.
Right.
That's what we mean there are. Yeah, mom or dad had something happen. That's a long-term care event. Whether or not they have a policy, though, something different. So
right.
That's where we're going to go through.
Yeah, and being fee-only, again, we don't sell any of these products that we're going to talk about. There's different insurance products. So it's helpful to look at it through an unbiased lens, case by case. And then, because you hear horror stories, right? And people get scared by that. And for example, when I was getting ready for the show today, we were looking through some articles, and there was one that was titled, "When Can an Adult Child Be Liable for a Parent's Nursing Home Bill?" Sounds pretty scary, right?
Yeah.
And if you have, just it's like water cooler talk, right? Or the game telephone. It starts with some facts, and then by the time it gets through a couple different people and the story changes, then you know, you really don't know what you're dealing with in terms of the circumstances and the reality of the scenario.
Right. Well, and that's what we encounter sometimes, especially early on in our relationships with people. They go, oh, you do that. Oh, you could help me with that. Because, again, we're all kind of cultured in this world of it's all about investments or products and, you know, buy this policy or make this investment, and that's your financial plan. It's so much more than that. So to be able to think about, okay, what are the things I need to be thinking of ahead of mom or dad having that event?
Right. Let's start with long-term care. So what we're talking about, let's just set this table and do some basic introductory type things. So that's nursing home, right? Mm-hmm. Assisted living, nursing home scenario, or it could be somebody coming to the house. You're seeing a lot of that care now being provided in people's homes, and which is great to let people stay in the home longer. Some people, I've talked to some people that on the opposite end of the spectrum, they're in their 50s, and when they retire, they want to go right into the home. Because I don't know if you've seen some of these places, but they're really nice, these new facilities.
I want to move into one.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's also some that are on the other end of the spectrum.
That's right.
Where a lot of people will say, I'll be good. I can just go to this or that. But they don't realize it might not be the quality of lifestyle that you would be looking for or want.
That's a great point, Tad, because a lot of this can be regional too.
Sure.
Whether you're in a larger city, whether you're north, south, east, west, all that comes into play is quality of care and the expense of it.
Yeah, we just broke that down. I think it was within the last month as a team.
Yeah.
We looked at long-term care expenses for a state, and then even within that state, it still varied, what, probably 20%?
At least.
Yeah, at least.
At least.
So depending on where you were within the state, it was incredible.
Those right. bigger, New York, California, and so forth, mm-hmm. when you get those larger geographical regions and income changes and living expenses, it changes quite a bit. But so long-term care, just in general. So it's a need, right, for some type of care, and there's ways mm-hmm. to ensure that need. Now, whether or not you need the insurance, that's a discussion. We're going to walk through how to analyze that because, again, this is where people are sold products. They don't buy the product.
Yeah, I think
very
the,
different.
The terminology long-term care insurance versus long-term care planning. Right.
Perfect. Because, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, because planning is having these discussions, which people don't do because it's taboo. You know,
right.
Nobody talks about health anyway. Nobody talks about getting older. Nobody talks about finances. And so you put all three of them together and we essentially have a long-term care plan.
You don't talk about it until you're that age.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Oh, I have my knee replaced or whatever. You know, then you have those discussions, but that might be too late. But,
right.
You know, the research shows that at least 70% of people over the age of 65 are going to need some type of service.
Right.
Now, what's the plan around that? Could it be modifying your home to make your bath so you can get in and out of it easier, or putting up a ramp or railings or a ramp up the steps, right? There's ways to do this without necessarily needing a full-blown insurance policy, right?
Right, exactly. It's a matter of planning ahead. And we keep saying this word planning, but that's relative to control. They're closely related.
Sure.
Because if you do a good amount of planning, you're going to get a lot of control back. And if you wait, and like you said, that example where you're later in life, your knee goes or something, you realize you can't get up and down the steps so well, you may be stuck for a while, depending on your housing market at the time,
right.
to say, let me get out of this and somewhere that I want to live. Something right. so basic.
So I think the first discussion of whether or not you need to look at insurance is, all right, how big is your bag of money, right? Because
mm-hmm.
the perfect scenario would be where you could pay for it out of pocket and right. not need an insurance policy, right? But that depends on what your goals are. Do you want to leave some to the kids as far as inheritance? Because if you don't have a long-term care policy, well, that means you're probably paying for it out of pocket. And unless you have a pension or some other resource, you're probably going to start draining the portfolio, right? That bucket of money you worked so hard to build and save up for. So first question is, what's your goal? You know, what's your long-term goal as far as your overall plan? And if there is a need for insurance, then remember, all these policies are not created equal. In fact, lots change in the industry over the years.
Right. And you hit on some of the possible goals. Maybe leave the kids money. Leave the undertaker with a check that bounces.
That's a good one, right?
Yeah, there's a few different ways that you could do it. Leave it to a charity or
sure.
spend it down. You build it up and use it for what you needed. But again, by having your plan in place and knowing where you want to get to, then you can start making better decisions.
Right. And back to that statistic, the 70% number of as far as people who need it, most of those are women. And that makes mm-hmm. sense because women live longer,
yep.
right?
The shocking part to me of that was 59 is the average age of a widow. That's fairly
59.
Young.
Yeah.
59.
It's a lot younger than I would think, yeah.
Right, exactly. So when you think about that in play too, you may be the Iron Man, we'll pick on our guys here, you may be the Iron Man out there, but think of the rest of the people who are dependent on you or that you would be dependent upon if
right.
something happened, and that's where this conversation really hits home.
Yeah, and again, reading through this, it's stuff you don't see every day, but another statistic was 80% of women are single at death.
Right.
Goes to that other statistic, right? They're living longer, outliving the men. That makes sense.
Right. Longevity is what it is.
Right. And most of the claims, when it comes time, if you have an insurance policy, most of those claims on the policy are by women. So in fact, when we get back from the break, I'm going to tell a story about that, personal story about a scenario where a long-term care policy was in place, but wasn't able to be used for care. All along, the policy was about 20 years ago. And come to find out, because of one little clause, there was no claim eligible to be made. So we'll talk about that when we get back. You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on News Radio 610 WTV.
You're listening to the only financial planning show on radio. Taking your questions tonight is WTBN's own resident money expert, certified financial planner, author of Planning a Successful Future, and founder of one of America's leading financial planning firms, John Sestina.
Welcome back to Managing to Be Wealthy. This is Tyler Cook sitting in for John tonight, joined by Tony Payne and Tad Harrington. And guys, I mentioned a story before the break, and it's a personal story, so I get a little maybe biased, I say. Just let's put that out there as a caveat, right? Because right? you're talking about family. But my grandmother lived till 99 years old, so start the story that way, right? A great run, had a great life, was able to stay at the house the whole time. But my grandfather, back in the 60s and 70s, was an insurance agent. And very successful, did a great job, raised five kids here in a small town in Ohio. And right when long-term care insurance was kind of coming out, that was basically the 70s and 80s, right in that time frame is when it really started to pick up some steam, and then more so in the 90s. And so they thought it was a good idea to get my grandmother a policy. So they got a long-term care policy. This was back in, I think, the mid-90s. And when you're going through the application process, there's a lot to digest, right? And there's different boxes to check and ones you probably should check and some you should not. For example, how much care do you want provided per day, right? They break it down per day with these policies. Mm-hmm. Do you want $200 per day, $150 per day? And a lot of that's based upon, you know, the insurers and all their numbers and whatnot. So anyways, going through the list, and she had, you know, if she went into a nursing home, full-blown nursing home care, round-the-clock care, box checked. If she needed assisted living, where you can kind of, you're kind of independent, but you still need some help with certain things, box checked. The box I didn't check was for at-home care. And as I said, that's where she was able to stay at home for her whole life till the, you know, till the end of the days. But she was not able to make a claim against her policy. And the reason why that's an issue is she had round-the-clock care coming to the house. Nurses' aides, nurse practitioners, or whatnot coming around, 24-hour care. And again, they did the right planning outside of this, so their bag of money was big enough, right, to pay for that out of pocket. But you think, man, you paid all those premiums for 20, 30 years for this policy. Come to find out when it's time to go ahead and make a claim, oh, sorry, you didn't check the box.
Right. Right. You're exactly right. And it works both ways, too. I mean, you could have had someone select the at-home, and they're just not able to or not able to use that level of care. So when we talk about this in the insurance world, it's still a fairly new animal out there.
It is.
We'll
long-term
call it
care
that.
Insurance is, yeah.
They're finally, I think, over the last 5 years, really starting to learn how to price this stuff. But to that point, and this is one of the statistics that we were given by one of the groups we work with, 78% of people said it would be helpful to talk to a financial professional about long-term care. Only 16% had had that conversation.
Wow. Yeah.
If you think about it, though, think about it. The logic, it's so scary, but typically the only time you're going to talk about it is when you're interested and you go to buy the darn policy. Unless you have someone who's out there part of your financial team and perhaps looking over your shoulder, bringing up new things ahead of time, you're not going to have that person bring it up to you proactively. Unless it's perhaps a great salesperson who, hey, let's get this thing out there, and that's a policy, not a plan.
Right.
So that's the idea here, is we want to talk about plans, and then you could perhaps model a policy around that.
Exactly. So you got to start having those conversations at home.
Yeah, and it's the motive, too, around how is this coming about? Is it a policy that's being sold? We talk about that a lot, but is that person going to make sure that they're going through all the due diligence of making sure this is the right fit for you, or is it just getting it done so we can get a commission check, for lack of a better word? But but the planning, looking at the details, because if I've learned anything over the past month after having our daughter, it's that I know nothing about a lot of things. You know, looking at daycares, I know nothing. I don't know what questions to ask.
Sure.
You know, breastfeeding, you know, what to do the first night and second night, third night, and even, what, a month later. I've read a lot of books, but at the end of the day, I just realized I had so many questions, and I also didn't know what questions to ask. So anybody that could give me that advice has been invaluable. It's the same thing whether you're buying a house or buying insurance or doing anything with your finances. You need to have somebody that can give you those questions and double check your work to make sure that you're checking all the boxes.
Right. Well, we've got a list here. Let's go through some of these questions to ask. And again, when you're considering a policy or a need for some type of coverage.
Yeah. And I would say it starts with just focusing on how do you envision, you know, the end of your life? How do you see your ending years? What does that look like? Obviously nobody, when we think of things, we're very optimistic, so we don't see these things happening. But generally, if you have had an experience caring for a loved one or seen a family member that has gone through this, you're probably more prone to think this could happen to me. And so you have to think, well, if this happens to me, what does that mean? What does that mean for the people that are going to be taking care of me?
Sure.
Who's going to take care of me?
That day-to-day responsibility is huge, especially if you pass that to a family member.
Right.
My grandfather, he on the other side of the family, he was living with my aunt and uncle for about almost 10 years. And God bless. I mean, that's a lot of work, you know, yeah. taking care of somebody with mobility issues and so forth. Got to the end, at the end of the plan, or in his plan, he had to go into a home. And, you know, that's the other thing is you look at these policies is how long are they going to pay out? And they've started changing that over the years. So you really have to develop a plan around that and look at your other bucket of money, so to say, and see if this policy can supplement it. Because, Tony, back when we started working on financial planning stuff 15, 20 years ago, it's kind of the good old days, right, with these types of insurance policies where they would pay you out. Like if you had a claim, they'd pay you for your lifetime.
Yeah.
Now they've changed it to age 60 or what three-year policies?
Three years on some of them.
But 3 or 5 year caps. So some of these old policies, if you still have them, make sense to hang on to it.
Right.
Just for some of those features.
We've seen that too, where people have come, sat down with us. We review, have our outside sources review, go through that whole process. And it's sometimes fun to say, hey, you've got a good policy.
Yeah, right.
Keep this thing. And it's so rewarding because you know you're doing the right thing for someone by saying, keep it. Just keep it. You're doing great. You made a great decision. Just reaffirming that for you. And sometimes that's the advice people need.
Right. So one of the questions is just a general question. We've kind of hit on it, but can you afford to use your savings or retirement income to pay for it? Because right now, national average, 3 years of care, expected to cost $700,000 by the year 2050. Okay, that's just inflation. Apply inflation to today's cost, extrapolate it out a number of years, and you're looking at some serious, serious cash. What gets really expensive is when you've got one spouse still living at the primary residence where you lived your whole life, and then the other one has to go to the home. Now you've got essentially two households.
Right.
And that's when this can get out of control.
But I think that's a good starting point because a lot of people choose if they have the money there. And there's tools out there where you can look at how this would impact your plan to say, yeah, I think I would be okay. We have a nest egg that's built enough. We could take care of ourselves. But like you said before, does that mean we can't leave anything to our children or grandchildren or charity or whatever we wanted to? So let's build that in. But also, if we're planning on doing this and something does happen, it's almost like the financial side and then the personal side, right? If you're my financial planner, I'm sitting there with my wife, Leah, and I say, oh, Leah's going to take care of me. Well, I better get her feedback
right,
to see
Leah's
if she thinks that's a good idea, right? Does she think
know.
She'll be able to take care of me? What happens if we both need the care? So I like to split those up between the personal and the finance questions too.
That's
They're related.
A great point.
They kind of tie in at the end, right?
Oh, and they have to because it is. It's all about who's there. Because, again, it is a job. Our caretakers of the world, our nurses, they're just immense work that goes into that and a lot unappreciated perhaps behind the scenes. So, yes, there's an expense to all of that. And that's where when we think about this, one of the big things you have to consider as well is when I'm talking about long-term care and I'm early on, hopefully, am I joking too much? Because you don't, I mean, we see it. I'm saying that as a professional here, but so many people take this discussion, perhaps make that quick joke, I'll end it in somewhere or do something silly.
Right.
And it's a joke to them at the time, but then they never really sit back down again to be serious about it.
Yeah. It's a scapegoat. I mean, it kicks the can.
Right.
And it gets you out of having a tough conversation is what that is.
Best answer I've heard to that question is my long-term care, all I need, this is the answer to talking to me. They said, all I need, Tyler, is for my wife to sit me up in my Lazy Boy and hand me a Budweiser. That's it. If I don't know anything else, I'm good. That was their plan.
Oh,
obviously, we didn't let it stop there. We furthered the conversation.
Right, exactly.
And got serious about it, Tony, right to that point. So come up on another break. But when we get back, we're going to continue with some tips. So if you do think you need a policy, let's talk about policy design and what tips you can use to see what makes sense for you. Because, again, not all policies are created equal. We'll be right back after the break. You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on News Radio 610 WTVN. Welcome back to Managing to Be Wealthy. This is Tyler Cook, Tony Payne, Tad Harrington with you tonight. And we're talking about a lot of different topics, but we focus so far on long-term care insurance. We're going to continue that discussion and give you some tips about how to evaluate policies and see what might be right for you. Before we do that, just a reminder to visit our website, managingtobewealthy.com. A lot of great content on there. And Tad, I know we've got a workshop coming up here pretty soon.
Yes, we do. We've got another one of our financial planning workshops, completely complimentary. And it is an opportunity to come in, spend 6 hours with us. I know it sounds like a long time, but it's jam-packed full of information where you can actually learn the basics of financial planning. We talk a lot about what we're talking about today with long-term care planning. But just the goal is to help you get your financial planning either up and running if you don't have one, or come back, revise it, and get a game plan moving forward.
And that's 6 hours. That's 2 hours, three sessions.
Yeah.
Right. Not all at once.
Yeah. It's going to be Wednesdays, August 8th, 15th, and 22nd from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. And it'll be located in Upper Arlington at the Hub on Kenny, which is on Kenny Road, right across from the Staples on Old Henderson.
Wonderful. This is, how many have you done this now? Is it four or five?
Well, we've been doing it for about a year and a half.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've helped a lot of people and a lot of good feedback. So, always revising it. So, if you guys would want to sign up, you can simply go to our website, managingtobewealthy.com. And in the top right corner, there's a take action button. And it actually has an area where you can check out our workshop, sign up, and also learn more about our radio show and other features we have, sort of our educational events.
Awesome. Wonderful. One more tidbit, too. If you have any questions, feel free to email those at info@managingtobewealthy.com. I-N-F-O, info@managingtobewealthy.com. All right, guys, let's jump back into it. So we talked about what is long-term care insurance, some pros and cons, and some discussions and questions to have with your loved ones or people that you're surrounded by in your financial plan. So let's take it full circle then. Tips for if you say, okay, I do want this, I do have a need for this, what are some things people should be considering if they're talking about buying a policy?
Well, how much should you buy? Meaning, how much benefit should the policy provide for you? And obviously, that's going to depend on your own personal situation. But you can determine, you know, is it one that's going to provide it, you know, more of a full benefit or maybe a partial benefit that just kind of supplement what you would be using from your own portfolio? So first, we have to hone in on what is that going to be.
And that can be location dependent too, right? Policy,
absolutely.
What you need in Columbus, Ohio is not what you need in Manhattan.
Right. You're 100% right. As we think about this, and again, keep hitting on these tips here, and there's a lot. There's so much to this. And the biggest part is it's planning ahead, it's discussing it, and being honest with yourself and your spouse if there's one involved.
Right.
And then, of course, we've got some other tips here, Chad. I think there's a couple more we had for us.
Well, with any insurance policy, there comes riders.
Yeah, what riders? So things you can spice it up, right?
Yeah.
Or add-ons.
The bells and whistles, if you want to call them that.
Yeah.
And but I say that almost, I don't mean that in a negative light because a lot of these are very good. But the point is that you can add a rider that will give you a benefit. So like if you actually have a long-term care need and the policy pays out, they waive the premium so you don't have to pay the premium anymore. You just get the benefit. They cost money. So what you want to do is look at the riders to determine, does this make sense for me and my situation? And should I be paying the premium, the additional premium for that rider?
Goes back to control. It gives you control because at that point in time, you've had the long-term care event. You're relying on everyone else. You're stuck with what you have. You can't go out and buy new things. You can't go out and perhaps work more. You're stuck. And I'm saying that very deliberately. You're stuck. So planning ahead and doing those things that you just talked about, Tad, making decisions and crafting the policy, if you need one, around those so that you get some measure of control when you're not physically able.
Yeah, and some other riders that you would want to consider would be, the first one is inflation protection.
Probably the most important,
yeah.
Right?
And that just means we know we have inflation. We probably don't see it as much as we used to, but it's there. It's starting to creep up.
Right.
And if you buy a policy that's going to pay you $100 a day now, well, in 20 years, $100 a day might only buy you $50 worth of goods, you know?
Right.
So
it'll pay for your toilet paper. That's it.
Right. Yeah.
Especially the way healthcare goes up.
Yeah.
Well,
those trends are connected, right? For sure. Another thing too, and it's kind of like car insurance, right? You can't get the car insurance after the accident happens. You got to do this proactively. And with these types of policies, long-term care insurance, they put age limits on it. So typically, most insurance companies have a maximum age where it's you can't start buying it. If you're 75 or older, maybe between 75 and 79 years old, you can't buy it. They won't underwrite the policy.
I feel like I've seen some at 70, too. So
pretty close.
You definitely have to get going on this when you get to be that age.
And another good tip, and this may be the most important just from the holistic view, is buying the coverage from a reputable company. And a few stories on this. So again, when 2008 came along, right, the world was ending, first of all. I mean, everything was going to go to hell in a handbasket. And insurance companies were not
immune.
I don't
know if you were listening to this show at the time, though. I have to say that, right?
I don't know if we were on yet, but I'll go with
that. Fair
enough.
All right.
We can say we were. The reality is insurance companies are, when you pay a premium to an insurance company, what do they do with it? Well, they're taking the money, investing it, and doing other things, right? So they have what are called actuarial assumptions, or what they're doing is pricing coverage, right, using different assumptions. And they assumed, insurance companies assumed back then, that they could get you know, 2-4% on their cash reserve, their money markets. Because there was a time, remember, folks, mm-hmm. there was a time when you could get that on just your money market account sitting there. Starting to get back up close to that now, but we're not quite there yet. So when 2008 happened and money markets went from paying 2-3% to 0.01%, that blew everything up. So what do they have to stay in business? They had to pass along the cost along to the policyholder. And so what do? Raise the premium. In a lot of cases, we've seen letters from clients that they've raised the premium and they've either kept the amount of coverage the same or they've reduced it.
Right.
Or they'll do a combination thereof. Real straightforward, right?
Yeah, they'll give you the option. You can pay the additional premium or we're going to cut your benefit.
Right. Or, right? I saw one last week. It was four options and none of them were good. If you wanted to keep the same coverage, you had to pay almost twice what the initial premium was. And that's deliberately done by the long-term care insurance companies because what they did is they left the door open back when they first created this stuff because they weren't really sure what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Tony, to your point earlier, long-term care insurance is the baby in the room as far as insurance is concerned. And the underwriters left the door open so that they could do this. And there, as the policyholder, you're kind of stuck. It's pay to play. Pay the premium or the coverage goes away.
Right, exactly. And that's where nowadays, too, these policies are developing. I mean, they're not stupid. They're trying to work with us and have products people want to buy. Things like do a paid-up long-term care policy where you only have a finite amount of money, perhaps, or going and having a spouse added where
right.
the policy could cover you or the spouse. So there's a few other zingers out there, I guess, that as you develop your plan, talk about what may happen. Would we keep the house if you went down or if I went down? These are real conversations to have because when you craft that plan, you may not need to pay for that in-home care
sure.
because you may want to just go somewhere that your spouse isn't your full-time caretaker having to maintain the home too. That's real considerations for a weekend sit down to think about.
Right. So you can customize these policies to a certain extent, right, with what's available through each insurer. Just take it with a grain of salt because not all insurance companies are created equal, especially the ones offering long-term care insurance. In fact, we've seen it over the last couple of years. A few companies have got entirely out of the market altogether. They don't even offer it to individuals anymore.
Yeah, the ones that make microwaves and dishwashers and all that, I don't know that they were in the long-term care market for the right reasons.
We talked about that a few weeks ago, right, when GE was General Electric, when they were fall out of the Dow Index, right, the Dow 30. Mm-hmm. The Dow Industrials, and it's part of the reason, right? They spread themselves too thin on these different industries, from making jet engines to selling long-term care policies.
Right, exactly. I mean, this is truly rocket science in some ways because you're trying to estimate not just the numbers, how long will people live, but how willing are people to keep paying that additional premium? And what they were shocked by was people were very willing to pay the increased premium.
Right.
So instead of just being able to cancel the policy and keep their money, they actually had to provide care because these people were not letting policies lapse.
Right. And I will say because of that and because of going through 2008, if you're going for coverage today, a new policy, the pricing is much more accurate than it was, you know, 10 years ago now. Jeez,
great point.
It's been 10 years already. So we'll continue the discussion when we get back from the break. And we'll talk more about what I mentioned earlier about how there's a possibility where, is it a possibility where an adult child could be liable for their parents' nursing home bill? It's kind of scary, right? So we'll talk more about that after the break. You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on News Radio 610 WTVN.
We're talking all your money questions live. It's financial planning. It's investments. It's managing to be wealthy. With your host, America's father of fee-only financial planning, SIFA's Financial Planner of the Year, and a nationally recognized source for financial planning advice, John Sestina.
Welcome back to Managing to Be Wealthy. This is Tyler Cook, Tony Payne, Tad Harrington with you tonight. All certified financial planners. And tonight's been focused on long-term care insurance. And there's a lot of moving pieces to it. Industry's changing, costs changing. But it all comes back to what your scenario is in your particular case. Because, again, it's not a one-size-fits-all policy. And there's some horror stories or what you perceive as horror stories that make good headlines when it comes to these types of things. When you're talking about aging parents and the cost of care and could they potentially pass the cost of their nursing home care on to you as their child? So, you know, recently there's been some clarification on some of that because it's a legal issue, right? There's legalese to be read and attorneys have to get involved and whatnot. But I guess let me start with the question, guys. Is it a possibility? Could a child be liable for their parents' nursing home bill?
It depends. That's a good cop-out. Yes, I think they could. That's my gut answer here, and we'll talk about why here in a little bit. But, yeah, and especially depending on the technicalities of how everything developed. I mean, let's go through here and say that.
So let's start there. So you say maybe, or it depends.
Yeah.
So I'll push back a little bit. Federal regulations prevent a nursing home from requiring a third party be liable. So how is it possible that a child could be on the hook?
Well, like anything fun, if the government's going to outlaw it, they're going to keep it to themselves. So a nursing home can't claw this third party's assets, but good old Medicare sure could. They can take certain assets, depending on how they were structured. So you might physically be in possession of X or Y that mom or dad had, but there are provisions that allow the government to claw these things back.
Possibly. And there's also another way. And that is if the nursing home has a separate contract that the child signs off as a responsible party. Now, there'd be ways to different enforce. That's kind of confusing, right? Because federal law says you can't do it. However, there's a separate contract involved. So then you get, and that's where the attorneys come in, mm-hmm. right, to sort all this stuff out. But is there a chance? Yeah, there's a possibility depending upon what you sign. So if mom or dad's getting ready to go in one of those homes and you're thinking about signing it on a dotted line for them, or you have some capacity to affect change or have any control over what's going on, read the fine print and maybe even have an attorney take a look at it.
Right, exactly, because there's all kinds of clawbacks here, whether it is the government side at the state level, the federal level, those things can apply, or this. Again, depending on who signs or guarantees sometimes, you may be on the hook. And again, you're in the moment, it's a rush, you're doing all the right things, you're there trying to help mom or dad or whoever in that moment, and all you want to do is just get the best thing done so you're not perhaps going through and, well, what does this mean? What does that mean? Well, and part of it may be personal guilt. You don't want to sure. feel like you're chintzing mom or dad. You know, hey, do they really need 8 squares of toilet paper a day? Or, you know, that sort of thing. You know?
Right.
But these are...
You're going to ration again, the toilet paper.
Yeah, we keep making jokes here, but that's sometimes the only way to get through this stuff. But
right.
that's the idea is go through it ahead of time, planning yet again for the 100th time this show, planning ahead, you're going to be able to... No, will I get clawed back here? Will they take money out of my pocket for what we did for mom or dad?
Yeah.
Or myself?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more because in the moment, you know, you're not sitting there. It's not a fun. I mean, it's probably not a great thing, but you're emotional. You might have some guilt if you don't do the right thing. So, you know, sign. Give me where to sign. I just want to get this taken care of. I want to make sure mom and dad are great. You sign the responsible party, and then you, if you do that, it's just. You got to try and understand what the responsibilities are because, like, what we've talked about is it sounds like there's been circumstances where, let's say, you run out, the parents depleted their money. So then maybe it would fall to you could apply for Medicaid and they could pay for the balance of it or the payments going forward. But if you don't take the right steps as that responsible party and make sure that you're checking all the boxes, they could come after you and say, oh, you didn't contact Medicare to do this. So now you're on the hook.
Great right? points. And here, call it a selfish plug or just altruism, helping people. But the idea is, we talked about it earlier in the show. If you have a true financial planner, not just your advisor, your financial person, but a financial planner, you have built a relationship over time that when that moment happens, in the heat of the moment, you're not going out searching the world to say, who should I talk to for this? Who can I trust for this? It's part of if you've built a relationship with someone, now you have that phone number already to say, oh, geez, this time has come. Let me talk to my trusted person, come up with that plan, know their motivation behind the scenes too. Then you'll be in so much better position in that meeting, in that sit down at the time, because we see it a lot too with funerals as well, sure. where someone just wants to get it done, do it the right way. And there may be monies that could have been done a little better, we'll right. say it that way, that right. if you had someone to talk to clearly, you might have made better decisions.
Absolutely correct. Lots to this, as you can see. It's hard enough with us keeping up to date with all these changes and different things. And over the years, there's been a lot of changes in the industry. You talked about that earlier. And the products available have changed too. And Tad, so there's a couple different new things that are out there. They're what they're calling now hybrid long-term care policies. What's that all about?
Well, there's a few options that you would want to look at because they all have pros and cons, and depending on your situation, one would probably fit better for you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the traditional long-term care, just like you pay for it. If you have the need, they'll pay out. There's other ways that you can do this. Like there's one that is more of a focus on providing a set amount of benefit with a little death benefit there. So you could say, well, I have $50,000 set aside. I want to make sure that I have X amount. They'll give you maybe $100,000. Don't quote me on that. I'm not sure what the benefit would be, but of long-term care insurance. So you can just kind of earmark some of your assets. Oh, and there's a clawback. So in 3 years, if I change my mind, I can get that money back.
Yeah.
Might make sense for somebody on the fence.
Right.
There's also some policies where you could use life insurance or even annuities that would provide care. So where these would come into play is if, hey, I've had this whole life insurance policy for 20 years. I've built up some cash value. I don't need the insurance anymore. I've talked with my planner. We don't need to do anything with this. Well, what if we just exchange this or change the way that it's structured so it could provide more of a long-term care benefit than that death benefit?
See, and because you're fee-only, you can look at that through an unbiased lens.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
You don't have to say, oh, I know if I get into this policy because this hybrid policy with long-term care, life insurance with a long-term care rider, I'm going to get a bigger commission. That's not the angle you're taking, right? It's about, okay, let's look at the entire universe and make the recommendation and work with that expert to implement the plan. There's years, a few years ago, I would never have recommended a hybrid policy,
right?
Because I saw somebody who came to us after the fact that was taken by it, completely taken by it. Got, I mean, talking thousands, almost $100,000. Yeah. Thankfully, we worked with an independent agent and got the client all that money back, and she's still grateful to that day for that scenario. And it's this is the world, right? Insurance world, you got to be careful. Make sure you're working with that trusted party.
A lot of the people don't even have those different, let's say there's four options. A lot of people might only have one or two on their shelf.
Exactly.
So they can't even objectively look at the right. other considerations.
Exactly,
you know?
Right.
So
that's
that, exactly that just right. goes back to what you're saying is the motives and making sure that people are looking at things through an objective lens.
Well, and that's what John started with us here too, is stand from the treetops and start saying this. Financial planning is a profession. Our financial world is ready for disruption. There's a lot of these big insurance companies around town that are shaking a little bit because consumers, just like Uber, these other services that are disrupting older industries, people are starting to see, wait a minute, you can sell me a product that's not in my best interest if you could call it suitable and you could target the one that makes you the most money when down the street or online I could get the same product at half the price.
Right.
That's the kind of disruption we're talking about, and it's great. It helps really middle class America the most because they're able to really up the service too that they're able to get. I'm sorry.
All great
yeah,
points.
Get off my treetop.
Rant
here
in,
me.
But I love it. All no, right. that's you know, that's our mission is to expose people to what fee only actually means and do what's best for the client always. No question about it. So we're at the end of the show tonight, guys. We've covered a lot of topics, and we know some questions may be too personal to ask on air. So again, feel free to email us any questions at info@managingtobewealthy.com. And throughout the week, feel free to visit managingtobewealthy.com. And Tad, you mentioned earlier, there's a button on the top right that says take action. You can complete a questionnaire and schedule a complimentary consultation with us to see if we may be a good fit for what you have going on in your lives. Well, thanks again for listening. We'll be back next week. You've been listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on News Radio 610 WTVN.